Masechet Pe'ah, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Zayin. In the previous Mishnah, we mentioned five different opinions on how much land one has to be harvesting with in order to obligate oneself in Pe'ah, to leave the corner of a field for poor people. So we mentioned the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva said, Karka Kol Shehu, even a tiny bit of land, there's no measurement. If it's one tiny square inch of land, and a person is harvesting on that land, he has to leave Pe'ah from that spot. So the Mishnah over here, this Mishnah, our Mishnah that we're going to do right now, this Mishnah is also going to talk about other laws that apply with Karka Kol Shehu, with any sort of land whatsoever. We mentioned in the last Mishnah, Bikurim, we mentioned Piros Bol, we mentioned a person's able to acquire certain movable objects with the land that's under it by doing something to the actual land. We're going to mention now two more situations where any amount of land would be enough. Here we go. Mishnah. Hakotev nechasav shechiv merah. If a person wrote over his property as a gift to somebody when he was lying in bed, seriously ill, nervous that he was going to die, shiyer karka kol shehu matnato matana. Lo shiyer karka kol shehu en matinato matana. If a person, when he was writing over his possessions to somebody else, if he left himself some sort of land for himself to keep, we say that the gift that he wrote over is considered to be a valid gift, and it doesn't return to him, because the point is he kept a portion of land for himself under the assumption that he was going to live. So this person, when he was writing over it, it wasn't like he was in chaos at the end of his life thinking he was going to die. If he thought he was going to die, he wouldn't have left any land for himself. So it must be that since he left land for himself, he wrote this gift to somebody under the assumption that he was not going to die. If he wrote a gift to somebody and gave away all of his possessions, and he didn't leave himself any land whatsoever, and then all of a sudden he lives, he doesn't die, we say, this person only wrote over his entire estate because he was a shechiv merah, he was in panic at the end of his life and he expected himself to die, and by the fact that he lived now, you have to give him back all of his property because he only wrote that thinking that it was the end of the day, he thought he was going to die. And this measurement of how much land he has to leave over for himself, for us to say that the gift remains valid because he assumed that he wasn't going to die, it's even if he leaves himself, a karka kol shehu, if he leaves himself just a little bit of land, we assume he thought he wasn't going to die and therefore the gift remains valid. The next part of the Mishnah is going to talk about a similar situation. Hakotev nechasav lebanav. If somebody was lying in bed, very seriously ill and about to die, and he writes over all of his property to his sons, and he writes over to his wife a small little portion of land, ibeda ketubata. We assume that she loses her right to collect the ketubah that he's obligated to pay her once the properties were assigned to the son. So here's the hypothetical situation. Let's say, and the way a ketubah works, if a husband dies, the wife is now able to collect, we're going to say, 200 zuz, a monetary amount, 200 zuz from his estate. She's allowed to collect now that he died with the ketubah. But let's say the situation happened where the husband had a property worth 200 zuz. He gave 190 zuz worth of that property to his sons, and he gave his wife 10 zuz of that property. If she didn't say anything at that point, she stayed quiet, we have to assume that she forfeited her right to the ketubah and let it go to the other sons if she didn't say anything at that point, and she just collected her 10 zuz. If she said something, if she protested at that point and said, I'm entitled to 200 zuz, they'd have to pay her. But if she was silent at that moment, we consider it to be she lost her ketubah. And the amount of land that he has to assign her in order for us to assume that she lost her ketubah is karka kol shehu. If he assigns her any land whatsoever, our assumption is she was honored enough and she was thankful enough with just that piece of land that he assigned her that she forfeits the right to her ketubah. that she feels that the husband took care of her. He gave her some land. He didn't have to give her land. He could have just paid her with the 200 zuz. But if he just gave her a portion of land as he was dividing everything up to the sons, we assume that she felt honored enough to also be included in the divvying up of that land. And therefore, she felt it enough and she wouldn't go ask for the 200 zuz in her ketubah, and she forfeits the rights to her ketubah. Rabbi Yose is going to add a condition over here, or he's going to change it up a little bit. Rabbi Yose omer, im kibela aleha, afa pi shelo katavla, ibeda ketubata. Rabbi Yose says, no, in your above case, Tanakama, you said only if the husband instructed it to happen like that. I'm even saying if she agreed to the idea when the land is being divvied up by the sons, the husband died, and now the land's being divvied up by the sons, and the sons tell her, you know what, we're going to give you a small portion of land. Karka koshihu, a small portion of land, a minimum size of piece of land. Again, that's the theme of the Mishnah we keep on bringing up, a minimum size of land. If she agrees to it and say, you know what, I'm so honored that you're including me in the divvying up of property, I'm going to accept it. We have to assume, even if the husband didn't command it, that she now forfeits her right to go back to the sons and say, hey, look, I have a ketubah from your father. You have to pay me 200 zuz. No, since they included her in the dividing up of land, we assume that she forfeited her entire ketubah.